Hallelujah. Wonderful. Thank you for such great, anointed, and talented singing. Praise God. I am persuaded, church, that whatever we have a passion for, we'll make it happen. As Brother Harris prepares to come at this time, if we have a passion for the things that we really like in life, if we have a passion and enjoy hunting, we're going to find a way and make a way to make sure that we are able to go hunting. We'll lay out of work if we've got to. We'll bum money if we got to go hunting. If we enjoy skiing, we'll find a way to go skiing. We'll lay out of work. We'll borrow somebody's skis. We'll take a ski lesson. Whatever the fact might be, if we have a passion to do something, we'll find a way to make that happen. Church, if you have a passion to live for God, you'll find a way to make it happen. If you really, really want to live for God, doesn't matter what happens, you'll make it happen. You'll make it happen. Hey, don't have a ride to church. Hey, call somebody up, you'll get a ride to church. Don't have the money to get to church. Hey, borrow some money. You'll find a way to get to church. And I'm also persuaded that if we have a passion to see lost souls saved, that we'll find a way to get them here. We'll find a way to reach out to them. We'll find a way to make the time when we don't even have the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's time for the preaching once again. How many of you vow to get behind Brother Harris as he comes at this time? Let's give him a good landmark welcome. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You're all happy now. I want to see how it is here in about 30 minutes. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Isn't he good? Amen. The Word of God is quick and it is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to cut asunder, amen, your bone from the joint. It's able, amen, to separate the soul from the spirit. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the heart and the intents of your heart. Amen. You can't fool God. Isn't he wonderful? Amen, amen. You can be seated. This Word of God tells me, amen, that it can be used for exhortation. I can exhort you. Amen. It can be used for reproof and rebuke. Amen. And it can be used for instruction. Amen. That your soul may be saved. Amen. That your soul may be saved. Tonight, we want to speak a little bit on a title. What does the man of God mean in your life? What should the man of God mean in your life? The Word tells me the Holy Ghost is easily entreated. The Holy Ghost is slow to wrath. It's slow to anger. Amen. But it is quick, amen, to forgive and to love. Amen. It doesn't take very long to know what type of spirit you are of. Amen. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Amen. So we got to bridle the tongue sometimes. Be slow to speak. Be quick to hear. Amen. For God is above and we are from beneath. Therefore, let your words be few. We're living in a time that even the church is losing its fear of God. They're being taught false doctrine. Amen. They're being taught, amen, that God doesn't correct, that God does not chastise, that God is only love. Yes, our God is love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But God loves you enough to correct you. He loves you enough, amen, to prepare you for heaven. Amen. You should be glad that you're serving a God, amen, that will chastise his children in love. What does the man of God mean in your life? Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. It's not a popular subject. Obedience to God, to God's word, is everything. Obedience is the key that unlocks the door to the kingdom of heaven. We're going to begin in the scripture, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Amen. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, Apostle Paul spoke these words in the book of Hebrews, and he said, obey, amen, the ministry. Obey the man of God. Obey them that have the rule over you. God has placed our pastor over this part of the Lord's body. Our pastor is charged by God to watch over our souls, and he must give an account unto God for each of us. Therefore, be obedient unto the man of God, that his job may be with joy and not with grief, because we also one day will answer to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We also must give an account of our lives. I'll ask you a question. Who needs a preacher? In Romans, the word says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. It is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Isn't it good, amen, to hear the word of God? Isn't it good, amen, that God, hallelujah, took the time to speak to his people, amen, to make the plan of salvation clear to his people? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall you call upon him in whom you've not believed? And how shall you believe on him, amen, whom you've not heard? And how can you preach, amen, or how can you believe without a preacher? How can you believe without a preacher? See, in case you haven't realized yet, we're talking about the man of God. So specifically, we're speaking about the pastor tonight. Amen. And how can you preach, amen, at least you be sent? See, the man of God's called. Amen. He doesn't bring this honor upon himself. Amen. God does the calling. Amen. And therefore, the word of God says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring us, amen, this blessed gospel of peace, and bring us glad tidings of good things. Now, I tell you, the pastor only wants to do good to the church. The pastor has a love for the body of Christ. Amen. He's a called man. Amen. So, church, you need a preacher. You need a man of God in your life. You need a pastor. Amen. You can't make it on your own. Amen. There is a way that seems good unto a man, but the ways thereof is the way of death. Amen. We cannot do it our way. There's only one way. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And Jesus has appointed a shepherd over this flock. You need the fivefold ministry. Amen. You need the ministry of some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, and some teachers. Amen. For the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Be you perfect and be you holy, even as Jesus said that he is perfect and he is holy, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Jesus Christ has placed our pastor as the watchman over this flock. In Ezekiel, God spoke to the prophet Ezekiel and said, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman upon the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words of my mouth and give warning from me to them. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his sin, in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thy hand, at the hand of the pastor. The pastor is in a very precarious place. Amen. He's not only responsible for his soul, but he's responsible for your soul to teach you the truth. Amen. To correct you. Amen. And show you the ways of life. Hallelujah. If he does not do his job, amen, not only will his soul be lost, but that person's soul will be lost. God will require of the pastor your blood. The Word of God says, amen, that the only thing that can take care of a problem of spilt blood is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and a blow for a blow. Amen. By the shedding of blood is the only way blood can be cleansed. That's why in the Old Testament, hallelujah, when someone committed a crime of death, of murder, amen, the penalty required was they had to die. They had to shed their blood, else the land would be polluted. Amen. We're talking about serious things here. If you warn the wicked, if the pastor warns the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, you're not going to be able to stand before God and blame the pastor. He shall die, that wicked man shall die in his sins. But the pastor has delivered his own soul. For the pastor's own soul, for his own soul's sake, the pastor must warn us. So, amen. Don't get upset when the pastor has to come and talk to you. Hallelujah. Yes, he's concerned about you, and yes, he loves you, but he's no fool. Hallelujah. He knows that he is required to do that, or else he'll have to answer for that. Amen. So you want a good man of God. Amen. You want one that loves you. Amen. Enough, hallelujah, to correct you when the need is there. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We got a wonderful church here. Hallelujah. And we got a freedom of the Spirit of God. And the pastor loves to worship and praise God. And he loves to see the Spirit of God move. And we love to shout. Hallelujah. We love those good things of God. But folks, I'm telling you, amen, you've got to live the life. You've got to live the life. Listen again. When a righteous man, that's a saved man, that's a born-again man, that's a Holy Ghost-filled man, when he decides one day to turn from his righteousness and to commit sin, and if the Lord lays a stumbling block before him, that man shall die. Because if the pastor give him no warning, he shall die in his sins. But if the righteous man, amen, if he is reminded by the pastor not to sin, but to live righteously, then that righteous man will live and not die, and the pastor will be saved. Hallelujah. So you see, the pastor only has to look out for the righteous. He's going to look out for the wicked. Amen. Think about what we're saying. He that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. The Word of God instructs you. The Word of God corrects you. And God does not do it, amen, just out of pleasure, amen, to correct you. The Word of God says that a natural father will correct his child, amen, as he wills. Sometimes he feels like it, sometimes he don't, sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. But God always corrects his children because he loves them and he wants to prepare you for heaven. Amen. The Word of God tells me, amen, the righteous man can fall 7 times, the Lord will raise him up. The Lord will correct him and send him on his way into righteousness. but he will leave the wicked man to his wickedness. Amen. He will, amen, correct the righteous man, but that wicked man will go on in his wicked way if the pastor does not warn him. Amen. Nevertheless, if the righteous man is warned, amen, he shall be saved. Church, take heed that the wickedness of the wicked, the word says the wickedness of the wicked will not condemn them in the day that they do right, neither will the righteousness of the righteous save them in the day that they do wrong. And then people say, well, God's not fair, God's not equal. Here, that guy's been wicked for 25, 35, 45, 50 years. Amen. And all at once that wicked man comes into his heart, I'm going to turn to God and I'm going to repent and I'm going to live a righteous life. The Bible says all his wickedness will be forgiven him, forgotten, and he'll be saved because he's righteous. But that righteous man has served God all of his life, that righteous woman served God all of her life, if she decides, I'm going to sin today, I'm going to premeditate it, I've been good for a long time now, amen, this is my day, I decide I'm going to do wickedly. And if the Lord lays a stumbling block before that righteous person and they don't get back and repent, all their righteousness will be forgotten. God will not remember their righteousness, but for their evil, they shall die. Do not boast, I have been saved for many years. If you sin and you do not repent, you will be lost. What does the man of God mean in your life? Church, obey. You notice I'm using that word obey. The world doesn't like to obey. Amen. Church, obey the man of God. There is a different calling between that of a pastor and that of a saint. Boom. Korah withstood Moses. In the Word of God, there was a man named Korah of the Levitical priesthood that decided, amen, that he was equal and on par with Moses. Amen. And he said, Moses, you take too much upon yourself leading all this people. We're all called of God. We're all ministers. We all can do this. Amen. And the wrath of God came upon Korah. And the Bible says that the ground opened up and it swallowed Korah and all that pertaineth to him. Amen. His wife, his children, his family, his friends that were going along with him. And they all went down into hell alive. Moses had a brother and a sister named Aaron and Miriam, amen, and they decided one day to begin to chide and begin to criticize Moses because Moses had married an Ethiopian woman. It made God so upset because Moses wouldn't defend himself. The Word of God says Moses was the meekest man that ever lived, so God defended Moses and he called Miriam and he called Aaron up to the tabernacle, up to the temple, amen. He appeared to them in a cloud and he began, amen, to chastise them, and he put leprosy upon Miriam. And all at once they knew what the fear of God was. All at once they said, Moses, now we know there's a difference between us and you. Pray for us. You'll come to the pastor someday. Pray for us. You just don't want to come one day too late. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you a true story. The tragic story of the first great king of Israel, King Saul, and how his disobedience to the man of God, his disobedience to God's commandment, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. By this all men shall know, amen, that you love me, obey his commandments. But because of Saul's disobedience, it cost him his kingship, it cost him his salvation, it cost him his life, and it cost him his soul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 through 3, it reads, Samuel, the great prophet of God, also said unto Saul the king, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Now when the man of God comes to you and says, God has spoke to me, thus saith the Lord, you better listen up. You better listen up. Samuel came to Saul and he said, now the Lord has spoke to me, and the Lord said, amen, I remember, you know, God don't forget. The only time God forgets is when you repent and he forgets. forgives you, and he casts your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, and they'll never be remembered against you no more. But if you ain't repented, God hasn't forgot. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and spare them not, but slay both the men and the women and the infants and the sucklings, the oxen, the sheep, the camels and the donkeys. Now this is our God. Our God has not changed. God still loves righteousness. He still hates sin. It just so happens that now God has given us a period of grace whereby we can be forgiven of our sins. God's given us a space to repent. But now this one named Amalek, this nation of the Amalekites, amen, they were God's enemies. Listen, church, God will destroy his enemies. God gave King Saul a commandment by the prophet Samuel. Even a king was subject to God's commandments. Are we exempt? He said, God said, go and smite those Amaleks and utterly destroy all they have. Now you may ask me, why would the Lord ask this or tell this, demand this commandment? In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17 through 19, it tells us why. Remember, God is speaking, remember what Amalek did to thee in the way when thou comest forth out of Egypt, how he met thee in the way and he smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Church, do you fear God? Amalek attacked God's people at their weakest point. He didn't attack the warriors. He attacked the old. He attacked the lame, the maimed, the blind, the women, the children, in the midst of the children of Israel coming up out of Egypt when they were sojourning in the wilderness, when they had asked Amalek and the Amalekites if they might pass through peaceably. Instead, he brought his army out behind them and attacked them from the rear and began to destroy the children of God. And God said, therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God has given Israel rest from all of his enemies round about in the land which the Lord will give him for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. God told him hundreds of years before King Saul. He said, now when you become a nation and when you get peace from all your enemies, then you're going to go back and we're going to do recompense to Amalek. Church, do not fear him that can kill your body only, but can't touch your soul. But rather fear him that can cast your body and your soul into hell. Yea, fear him. Fear God. For our God is a consuming fire. Listen, God has the power to put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God has the power to blot it out. There is none of this once saved, always saved. The Lord spoke to the church in the book of Revelation, and he spoke to one of the seven churches, and he said, repent. Repent of your sins. Repent, lest I come, amen, and make war with you with the sword of my mouth, amen, and I remove your candlestick, amen. And he said, I will blot your name out of the book of life. Now, God could not blot your name out of the book of life if it wasn't in the book of life. Amen. It's a fearful thing, amen, to go against God. Amen. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until he comes to Shur, that is over against Egypt. Now listen. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and the best of the sheep, and the best of the oxen, and the fatlings and the lambs, and all that was good that they did not destroy, but only those things which were vile, only those things that were refuge. did they destroy? Saul was disobedient. God said, you go and you smite Amalek and you destroy everything. He didn't say bring back the king alive. He didn't say bring back the best of the sheep and the goats and the camels. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, the man of God, saying, God said this, it repents me that I've set up King Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. You hear that? God places a lot of emphasis on commandments. Amen. Here's your beautiful garden, Adam and Eve, and here you can eat of every tree of that garden. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat thereof. For if you do, in the day and hour you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Amen. Sin is breaking God's command. And Samuel grieved. The pastor will grieve. And he cried all night long to the Lord. Because the Lord says, I'm going to cast off. Samuel was a good man. Samuel cried. Church, are we going to grieve our pastor because of disobedience so that he must cry unto God continuously for us? Lest God cast us off? Lest God withdraw his blessing from us? Lest God repents that he even saved us? For God said, it repents me that I have set up Saul to be king. And if you continue to sin, it's not going to please God. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said, listen to what Saul says. Blessed be thou, O man of God of the Lord. I have performed all the commandments of the Lord. Saul lied. And Samuel said, if that's so, then what means all this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? For God said, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that it has and spare them not. And Saul says, they, the people, have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord thy God, and the rest we utterly destroyed. Saul blamed the people. Who will you blame for your disobedience? Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord had said to me this night. We don't always want to hear what the Lord has to say. I mean, when I was a young man, every evangelist that came through, I was ready to get prophesied to. Amen. I was looking forward to it. It's a good thing that evangelist didn't have itchy ears. Amen. I soon found out sometimes it's best just to keep your business between you and God. Amen. Don't go asking them to tell the evangelist. Hallelujah. And he said, say on. Samuel said, or Saul said to Samuel, what did the Lord have to say? And Samuel said, Saul, when you was little in your own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you to be king over Israel? Church, when you were a sinner, did Christ not save you? And the Lord sent you, or Saul, on a journey and said, now you go and utterly destroy these sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. You know, the Lord's coming again, folks. He's coming back, amen, to the battle of Armageddon. He's coming back on a white horse, amen. And he's coming back, and he's got the word of God written on his vesture. Hallelujah. And he's going to make war with the Antichrist and the false prophet. And he's going to cast them alive into the lake of fire. And then he is going to destroy all those wicked armies by the sword of his mouth. And then he's going to invite all the birds of the air, amen, all the beasts of the field to come and feast on kings and renowned men. Amen. God hasn't changed. Amen. He changeth not. Hallelujah. Be glad. Because if he did, he probably already killed you. Hallelujah. All right. Wherefore did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but you did fly upon the spoil, and you did evil in the sight of the Lord? See, they wasn't saving all that stuff for the Lord. They were greedy. They were lustful after possessions. They were covetous. And they wanted Agag as a trophy. Say, look what we got. Amen. That's like when they go hunting, huh? Bring back that best deer. And say, look at this one I got. But that wasn't supposed to be the case. You see, God said, destroy them all. And what tends to usually happen when God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you end up suffering the consequences of what the other person would have suffered. And Saul said unto Samuel, see, listen to this man. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. See what he's saying? I have obeyed. And I did go and do that which God sent me to do. And I brought back Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and I destroyed all the rest of them. Excuses, lies. Do you want to have God? Amen. Do you want to answer to God because of disobedience to the man of God, to the pastor? Do you want to stand before the Lord and give an answer? Do you think God will accept your excuses? What's that saying? You can fool some of the people some of the time, and all the people some of the time, some people all the time. Anyway, you can't fool God at all. Hallelujah. You may get tongue-tied on some things. Amen. But you can't fool God. Hallelujah. I can see myself laying on my face right now. Amen. See, I was telling Brother Billy a little bit ago, anytime you preach, you got to preach it to yourself first. And if you ain't living up to it, then you do a little repenting and that little ask for forgiveness, then you preach it. Amen. And you believe it. And then you live it. It's not as though we're already perfect. Amen. But Paul said, this one thing I do, I leave behind the things that are behind, and I press on toward the mark for the prize of the great high calling of the Lord. It's not as though we'd already obtained. But folks, we got our eyes on a city whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. These words aren't to discourage you. These words are to encourage you. Amen. And no correction at the present time seems joyous, but rather grievous, but it will yield, amen, everlasting life to those that are obedient. To those that are obedient. Amen. And Saul said, finally, hear this, I have sinned. Finally, he admitted it. You will admit it. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. And I've transgressed your word, Samuel, because I feared the people. Aren't you glad that our pastor doesn't fear the people in the church, to be afraid to speak the truth to them? To fear that you'll take your tithes and your offerings somewhere else? Our pastor's not a man with itchy ears. Amen. He's going to preach you the truth if there isn't anyone here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But King Saul, though he were king, yet he feared the people and he obeyed their voice. Finally, Saul admitted the truth. And then Saul says, now therefore, Samuel, I pray you, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Church, some sins are never pardoned. Don't think that everything you're going to do, every time you're going to get away with it. Amen. Or he's always going to forgive you. There will come a day and a time, the Word of God tells me, that he will laugh at your calamity and he will mock you. Oh, yeah. The other side of God, huh? Amen. Isn't God wonderful? Let's give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. 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 And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with you For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. God will reject you from being saved if you are disobedient to his word. And Samuel turned to go away, and Saul reached out and laid his hand upon the mantle of Samuel, and it rent, it tore. And Samuel, amen, turned back. Samuel was Saul's pastor. Catch what I'm saying. If you didn't know this by now. Samuel was Saul's pastor. Do not disobey your pastor, causing God to refuse to let the pastor intercede for you. Did you hear that? You need that man of God. I say you need that man of God. Hallelujah. You're going to need that man of God. You cannot do it on your own. You're going to find yourself in some predicaments and in some places, amen, that you aren't going to be able to touch the Lord for yourself. That's when you're going to need the pastor. But you want to have a good one. Why not appreciate what you got? Amen. Amen. And Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to a neighbor of yours that's better than you. And the strength of Israel, our God, will not lie. He will not repent. He is not a man that he should repent. And God will not change his mind. God will not lie. God will take your Holy Ghost and give it to somebody better than you. If you have no respect unto the Lord, and you have no respect unto the Word of God, you have no respect unto the pastor, and you don't have respect to the Holy Ghost, now you think God's going to stick around? Are you going to tread the Son of Man? Are you going to crucify him afresh? Are you going to bring him to an open shame? God will take your Holy Ghost. And what is that? It's your everlasting life. Wherefore then did thou not obey the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifices. See, they was going to sacrifice these sheep and goats and bulls and whatever, and then they was going to eat the flesh thereof, and they was going to make game thereof, and they were going to kill them all. And Samuel is saying, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. You can make all kinds of sacrifices. You can fast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen. And you can deny yourself all types of things. Amen. And if you aren't obeying God, it's in vain. Amen. It is in vain. You're like that Pharisee that's out there saying, oh, I fast 7 days a week. I fast and I'm better than this guy over here, this sinner. Every man that exalts himself, God shall abase. But if you'll humble yourself and ask for forgiveness, God will exalt you in due time. Hallelujah. Our God is not a respecter of persons. Behold, it's better to obey than, amen, the fat of rams. Finally, Saul said, I have sinned. Saul finally repented, but it was too late. Church, do not play around with God. Church, take warning. Take warning, lest God's blessings be taken from you because of disobedience. Warning, rebellion against the pastor. Listen, we're talking about rebellion. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's bad news. Not to obey the man of God when he speaks, thus saith the Lord, is rebellion. And it is the same as the sin of witchcraft. It is devil worship. It's stubbornness. It's iniquity. And it's idolatry. In the Word of God, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, it reads, And the soul that turns after those that have familiar spirits and after wizards and go a whoring after them, I will set my face against that soul, saith God, and I will cut him off from my people. Oh, that's Old Testament. God hasn't changed. He hates witches. Amen. He hates demons. Amen. He hates sin. He loves you. He hates your sin. If you don't get rid of your sin, you'll go to hell. And God won't stop you. God didn't put you there, but he won't stop you from going. Amen. Hallelujah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt not have any other gods before him. That's very important. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, all the strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The two greatest commandments. It is rebellion against Jesus to have contact with the worshipers of Satan. Fresh water and salt water don't mix. You know, good water and bad water are on the same well. A good tree don't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree don't bear good fruit. Amen. God spoke to Israel, suffer not a witch to live. Church, take warning and obey. Stay away. Oh, we don't do this. Stay away from those who worship Satan, who have familiar spirits and have demons. Stay away from fortune tellers, palm readers, astrologers, and all those so-called psychic friends on television. These are not your friends. They are your enemies. They desire to destroy your soul. Do not go to them. As Saul, once he got into this mess, it was all downhill. Saul continued to sin to the point that he decided to seek out a witch, to seek out a devil, because he couldn't hear from God anymore. I say again to you, church, take warning. We are the children of light, not of the darkness. Our Father is God, not Satan. We are the children of the day, not of the night. Amen. Hallelujah. Those get-rich-quick schemes. Amen. Go call up that psychic friend. Find out what we should... I wonder how they're doing on the stock market right now. Amen. Where you will put your money now. Amen. Or... I really don't like that man I'm with anymore, the lady might say. And you talk a little bit to that psychic friend and they'll tell you to get rid of him. But there's another handsome man just down the street waiting on you. Amen. Or the man that doesn't want his wife anymore, whatever, that psychic friend will figure it out soon enough. Amen. Think about it. It is a sin to communicate with these people who are possessed of the devil. It is spiritual adultery against God. God says, why do you go to the dead? They're dead. For the living, God's living. These people are dead. If you go to them with your problems, you also will become dead. For God will cast you off. Amen. So if you ever dabbled in any of that stuff, best repent real quick and get away from there. Amen. Because those devils are nothing but liars. Amen. Did you notice I didn't say there's a bunch of liars? Amen. That's just an inside joke. A few things I've been said about my pronunciations. Isn't that right, sister? Yeah, that's right. Amen. What's your wife's name, Brother Andy? Sister Tammy. It's my desire. She liked that. She told me. Hallelujah. It's my desire. But that lazy tongue doesn't want to say two syllables. So it's my desire. Hallelujah. God says, why do you go to those people? We are the children of God. Do you know that? We must always come to God with our problems. For he is a living God and we are alive in him. And God's man is the pastor. Amen. God has a hierarchy. God has a plan. Amen. God's minister is the pastor. Again, I say, church, take warning. Obey them in God who have the rule over you. Be obedient unto your pastor and live. Amen. What does the man of God mean in your life? Oh, he must mean something. Touch not God's anointed. Korah tried it. Aaron and Miriam tried it. Touch not God's anointed and do his prophets no harm. For God will not hold you guiltless. You be careful what you say about the pastor. What you speak in the closet, God will shout from the roof. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Even Jesus, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Even Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, was obedient to the Spirit of God. Where's that going to leave us? Let's all stand. Amen. You feel good now? We said about 30 minutes later, we're going to see how you feel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you said, Perry, that was good. Because I knew you was talking about that other guy. Amen. If the shoe fits, wear it. This would be a good time to come to the altar and pray. Search yourselves and repent of any disobedience or rebellion against the man of God. God knows your heart. Come, let us as a church pray for our pastor and his family, that they may lead us and guide us in the favor of God. Thank you. Amen.
Now, pray the prayer of faith for your neighbor just now. It's an unselfish prayer that we're praying tonight. It's a prayer for the good of the church. It's a prayer for the good of my neighbor. It's a prayer for the good of my brother, my sister. Because when I need them, they're going to be there. When they need me, I'm going to be there. And we're going to be lifting up the pastor at the very same time. Holy Ghost, Jesus.